from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
Oh, no, 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 Lonnie Perkins. We're not at Studio 111 tonight. We are at the Broadcast for Broadway studio at the Hunt and Fish Club on West 44th. And just right on cue, Joe Sebelia, Joe Piscopo's fabulous producer, brings me a martini with three olives in it. How about that
martini?
For timing?
Where's my
martini?
Well,
I don't think he knew you needed another, what'd you call it?
I'm calling it a curtain up. It's cranberry and some fun stuff to make it, you know, for Broadway's back. So,
Christine, back in the day, before I invited you to come, you know, do this Friday night fun show with me,
yeah.
I used to talk every week on Friday afternoons with Michael Riedel about everything that was going on Broadway. And then he went and got a job at the competition, and then I wasn't allowed to talk to him anymore. But well, he is back. He was with us two weeks ago, and now he's sitting in
right.
And Michael, I remember when you used to do, what was the steakhouse you did the broadcast for AM 970 from?
We used to do it from Gallagher's, and you would always come.
I'd come down and support you, and those
absolutely
were great shows.
Oh, they were fun, yeah.
But it's fun to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And I've been dying to ask you this. You've seen Broadway at its best. You've seen it shut down completely.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to you tonight? I know you're on your way to see Six and probably going to have some other shows in your near future. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm excited. I went to Tuesday. They had the opening of The Lion King, Hamilton, Chicago. And I thought I wanted to go to the opening of The Lion King because that was one of the great moments of my entire life in the theater, going out to Minneapolis. Nobody knew what The Lion King was. Nobody had any expectations for it. I was not a big Disney fan back in those days. And I like the director.
And somebody said, we're going to do body puppets.
I know. And I thought this is just going to be a total disaster. And I'll never forget, you know, being in the Orpheum Theater and seeing the Circle of Life for the first time, that brilliant Julie Taymor-designed opening with the great Elton John, Tim Rice music. And the place went absolutely nuts. And I've never had that feeling in the theater again until Tuesday night when I was back at the opening of The Lion King.
Wow.
And the place went completely nuts for it. And that was thrilling. And then I ran over to Hamilton, which, frankly, is not one of my favorite shows. But since I know the theater owner, he snuck me in so they couldn't turn me away. And even at Hamilton, I still had a bit of a tear in the eye. So, but Six tonight will be the first show that I'll actually have sat through, a full show. I have not sat through a Broadway show since the opening night of West Side Story back in February 2020.
Well, and Six was in previews when it closed. It was supposed to have opening night on March 12th, I believe, right?
The day Cuomo shut down the city
right.
was the night that Six was going to open.
Right, and so here we are. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But, Michael, earlier in the show, we had Brad Oscar, who, as you know, is going to be in Mrs. Doubtfire. But on 9/11, he was in Producers.
Yeah.
And you have an interesting story about that, which we talked about last week. But the Producers is the show that you went to on September 13th when New York reopened Broadway and when Broadway reopened New York.
Yeah.
Right? So
absolutely. Yeah, no, that was another incredible night in the theater because, you know, you remember, Christine, Kevin, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if there were going to be more bombs, terrorist attacks. But people braved Times Square, which, as Rudy Giuliani told me in the book Singular Sensation, was the top 10 list of terrorist targets was Times Square.
Right.
Yeah.
But people went, all the actors went. I remember talking to Matthew Broderick, who was then starring in The Producers. And he said, we got the call to come to the show September 13th. And he said, we were, like, ready to go. He said, I was riding my bike up. And then as I got closer to Times Square, I had this moment of,
uh-oh,
it happens if they blow up the
right
theater.
Yeah. Mm.
But they overcame it. And I went with Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft. We sat at the back of the house. It was three quarters full, I would say. And the weird thing was, people didn't laugh at first. You just, It was uneasy.
You didn't have permission to.
But, you know, if you've got Mel Brooks, Nathan Lane, and Matthew Broderick, sooner or later you're going to start
laughing.
They're
going to crack you.
The only thing that they changed, I remember talking to a cast member, and he said the one thing that they changed was that night they had the sound effects of bombs going off in Springtime for Hitler, and they eliminated the bomb sound effects because they thought that would really upset people.
That would be a little bit...
And then at the very end, you know, Matthew and Nathan led everybody in the theater singing God Bless America, and it was incredibly moving.
Truly special.
Yeah.
Well, we're back. We're trying to get Broadway back. Michael Riedel, your anticipation of what you think is going to happen in the next few weeks. I mean, we've kind of staggered the opening, so it's going to give people like you an opportunity to kind of get a feel for it as you go along. But do you like what you're feeling so far?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement and energy in the air, and the press is certainly giving Broadway a big boost. But, you know, I wouldn't be a reporter if I didn't nose around and be a little bit cynical. And I think you got to look at Broadway when you hit January, February, March. Those are generally difficult times for the theater industry anyway. But let's face it, we don't have international tourism right now the way we had that turned Broadway into this multi-billion dollar business.
Biden's not even letting Canadians come down. So we can't even get the Torontons to come.
And the other thing that concerns me is, you know, we have this idiot mayor of ours who seems to not care one bit about crime. And the perception out there, because I talk to a lot of people who don't live in New York, the perception is that Times Square is dangerous again. Yeah. And that always will always hurt the theater.
Right. Yeah. Well, thankfully, we've got Chief Monahan here in the house tonight. And he has been on the job doing his best to keep Times Square safe. And I think it's showing, because a month ago, you didn't have that feeling. But now, as I was there today for the opening of Curtain Up, it was really exciting and people just felt wonderful. We've got a great announcement tonight.
Well, we do. And, Michael, hand that microphone to that man to your left right there, because Nelson Braff is back with us. And, Nelson, we didn't get a chance to get into this in the first hour. First of all, thank you for having us back to Hunt and Fish.
Thank you.
You are starting a very cool thing in your lower level, and you've got your manager who's going to run it. Explain to us. And Sherry Wallach, is that correct? Talk to us about what Barcelona is going to be here in the Times Square district.
Sure. When we opened the Hunt and Fish Club a while ago, I had this thought that we are perfectly situated, both in geographically and in terms of the look and feel of the restaurant, to take advantage of our proximity to Broadway and have live music in our downstairs area. It's a part of the restaurant where we've been using for parties and overflow dining. And it just felt to me like it should be an event space for live entertainment.
So a cabaret, if you will.
I like a cabaret.
Yeah.
And so to take advantage of Broadway coming back, Shari and I thought that this is a really good time to start a Broadway-themed cabaret program to start having live entertainment.
Yeah.
So we were coming up with some ideas, and the name Barcelona, which you kind of wonder where that came from, so I'll explain it to you.
Company, Stephen Sondheim's musical.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. So I'll tell you really what happened. So I live on the Upper West Side on 81st and Columbus, and I have this patio. And when I bought the apartment, I walked outside, and I looked at the patio, and to me it looked like an alleyway in Barcelona.
Okay.
So I just went with it and started calling the patio Barcelona. I'd invite people over and say, hey, come on over to Barcelona. And when I was sitting out there one day, I was with my friend Bobby Day, and we'll talk about him in a minute. That's where we kind of got the first concert that's going in. And we just kind of kept singing, where are you going? And he answered, Barcelona. And I thought, well, the patio is Barcelona. And when I saw this space, I'm like, well, why not carry that through?
Right.
And what we named it is Bar, capital B, capital A, capital R, Salona. So,
and
yes,
the idea is to have maybe Broadway talent, but it's also jazz. It could be
comedy.
Yeah, any number of things.
Right.
Right. So we're calling it Manhattan's Exclusive Underground.
So when does it open? When can people start taking advantage of it?
So we're going to have a press event on October 22nd. So we'll invite you back if you want to come and see what we're doing.
We will need to be here.
We'll be performing some new works from a show called Love and Southern Discomfort. And then on the 25th will be the inaugural performance. The space holds about 60 to 70 people. And it's just going to be a very intimate show. We have some name Broadway performers. You probably know Orfe and Andy Carl. Alexandra Socha and a couple of others who are going to come and perform those songs. And then we're hoping that we're going to attract quite a few. I just spoke to Joshua Henry earlier. He was performing out at TKTS.
Nice.
And I asked him if he would do like an unplugged.
Shari and Nelson, congratulations on this.
Thank
it's
you.
Very exciting. Thank you for being here.
Thank
Michael,
you so much.
Thank you for coming by tonight.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Coming right
good
back. Radio soon. Night Live, live from Hunt and Fish. Stay here. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970 The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970 The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, NMLS ID 128231, Equal Housing Lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
As everyone knows, home values have skyrocketed. Chances are your home has gained a ton of equity. Why not use your home's equity to upgrade your house? How about a new pool in your backyard or a new kitchen? Turn your home's equity into cash with a cash-out refinance loan from Cash Call Mortgage. If your mortgage interest rate doesn't start with a 2, we may be able to lower your mortgage rate and get you cash. See just how low our rates are at cashcallmortgage.com. Get started on upgrading your house with a cash-out refi from Cash Call Mortgage. For a free quote to see if you qualify, go to cashcallmortgage.com. Or call us today. Call 800-931-6651. That's 800-931-6651. 800-931-6651.
Dennis Prager can't believe where we are as a country.
Do you realize where we are today, where kids are basically taught that the flag represents racism? The flag represents oppression? They have nothing to believe in. Except wokeness. All of which is just made up stuff.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com. iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com.
If I should take a notion, dump myself into the ocean, ain't nobody's business if I do.
Back to Kevin McCullough, live from New York.
See, I think if Sherry and Nelson want to have a real hit on their hands in Barcelona, they got to get the Hot Sardines to come and do our bumper music live. Anyway, Christine, ask me what I did today.
What did you do today, Kevin McCullough?
Today I did a short study on the careers of Pearl Sun and Samantha Williams, because I knew I was going to have to talk to them, and I was really nervous.
Well, you know what? They are two amazing women on Broadway.
Being in the presence of this kind of greatness, and I am so honored, and I'm blushing to have Samantha Williams and Pearl Sun joining us. Pearl is the new lead in Come From Away, and Samantha's play is Carolina Change, but you were also in the Tony-nominated Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
And
yes.
What else were you in that preceded that? Because there was one other thing that I...
Actually, that was my first Broadway show.
That was the first Broadway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in college before that.
Okay. Well, ladies,
not
welcome.
Not a bad show to start.
Yeah.
So glad to have you. First of all, when does Come From Away open? Because I know everybody, it's one of the big ones, and everybody's wanting to see the big one. So when does it open?
Yes, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, September 21st.
Next week. Get your tickets.
I know.
You know, that story is about a very difficult time and the recovery that a little group of people on a small island gave to all these people that they were suddenly inundated with. what are you taking from this actual environment that you've been living through to apply to your role, and how you're going to communicate that story?
You know, I think we've seen a lot of the good and the bad over this period. And the parallels that I found is that there was goodness over this year and a half. There were people helping each other. There are frontline workers. There are volunteers, people who sacrificed in order to help the community. And what better message to send out there than that right now?
Right. It's incredible. Especially with the 20th anniversary of September 11th, just this past Saturday,
we all felt
it. And there have been a lot of parallels tonight of, you know, bringing back Broadway after September 11th and bringing back Broadway now.
Yes.
How does it feel different, you know, to you?
I mean, you know, the shutdown in 9/11 was a matter of days, right? And so this shutdown is quite different, I think.
18 months.
I mean, it's a remarkable time, and I hope we never see it again. That being said, I think and I hope that we have learned a lot over this period, and that we have grown to improve the way that we work and the way that we handle each other. I see it already in the way my company works, and I'm just grateful to be a part of the reopening of Broadway. It's a very exciting privilege.
Yeah.
And I want to make a point of what she's kind of subtly referring to there. Pearl is stepping into a historic opportunity here, is she not?
Right. Well, now, with Come From Away, you have two leads who are Asian Americans, and they are roles that are agnostic, if you will, right?
Yes.
But, so it's the first time that you have a play where Asian Americans are playing roles that were supposed to play, but they weren't written as Asian Americans. So it's not like Miss Saigon or, you know.
It's not a typecast.
It's not a typecast. Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. Myself and James Soule, we are two Asian American actors on that stage in a non-traditionally Asian cast show.
Right.
And we are the only two principal Asian actors on a stage in this Broadway season.
I just want to know how good your Newfoundland...
Sharing one stage together.
I just want to know how good your Newfoundland accent is, because that's what you're going to have to break out for us.
Okay, well, these oysters look quite good. I don't know. And then the knife and the fork over there and the napkin and on the plate, you know.
Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's okay.
Samantha Williams, Caroliner Change. I'm sorry to say I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about the
storyline.
I have
tickets. I'm coming.
Yay. Oh, my goodness.
My friend Tamika Lawrence is in it.
Yes,
and Casey
Tamika.
And Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, it takes place in Lake Charles, right?
Yes,
which
does.
Is one of my favorite spots. I don't know if you've ever been there in
Newland. I did, yeah. So over the pandemic, I lived in Texas with my family, and Lake Charles was only like 2 hours away from my house,
right.
So I took a little road trip to kind of do some research and see what the town was like.
But I do want to go back to pre-Caroliner Change, because Dear Evan Hansen, of course, had a huge initial run here in Broadway.
Right.
You got to be a part of something that was really special with that.
Yeah.
You were really young, too. Like,
yes.
This was your first thing. Talk to me about what that meant for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was my biggest dream realized. I was a junior in college, so I was 20 years old. I turned 21 with the show. And it was just the most beautiful experience of my life. Like, I had dreamt about that moment since I was 3 years old. So to finally see it happen and to learn just the ropes with a bunch of other kids who were doing it for the first time, too. It was really awesome.
Very young cast. And you also had the Jimmy Award winner, right?
Andrew.
Which is the High School Musical Award sort of competition, which is happening tonight.
Yes.
So we'll find out who won, and then they'll be the next stars,
right? No, they really will. They really will.
Very exciting. So talk to us about what's next for you, because Caroliner Change is just going to be opening up like everything else is. What are you hoping to see happen for you in the next iteration here?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such an important story to be told right now. For anyone who doesn't know, it's about a black maid who lives in Lake Charles, Louisiana in the 1960s. And just kind of the struggles of daily life of a black person, which is not a story we see often on Broadway or even in film or TV. So I just feel really lucky to be able to, like, tell the story of my ancestors and bring that to the Broadway stage. So. Yeah.
One of the things I noticed about you as I was trying to look up, you know, your past and where you've been, is that you did a lot of YouTubes and things for people during the pandemic.
Yes, I did.
It was kind of therapeutic. I got what I took away from it. It was almost therapy for you to be able to give to them like that.
Yeah.
What kind of feedback did you get? What did it mean to you?
Yeah, it was so much fun to be able. I was home in my childhood bedroom, like doing
in little twin bed.
Yeah, doing Zoom plays and just trying to keep myself as creatively stimulated as possible. And it was a lot of fun. I feel like over the pandemic, I found a new joy for the art form that I feel can easily be taken away from you as a young artist, especially in this industry. So it was just so much fun to be able to allow myself to play again and share that with people and just have fun. Like, that's all that's really
Well, and also
is,
your generation lives on YouTube and TikTok and
they do.
Instagram.
I don't have TikTok. Yeah, I don't have TikTok, thank God. I'm not there yet. I mean, maybe I will soon, but it's definitely, social media is definitely like the new platform of...
Sure.
Putting yourself out
it's
there.
Communication. It's communication. Yeah. And every person is their own media company at this
Absolutely.
Point. Pearl, let me ask you. Similar, you're a different stage of life than Samantha. You've had a chance to go through a little bit more in the industry than she has.
Yes.
How did you stay kind of sharp and keep yourself stimulated, as she said, during that long season when it seemed like nothing was going on?
You know, I did do some virtual concerts, and we did some developments of new shows. So I worked on the new Farewell My Concubine musical that's going to be coming through. And then I collaborated with Tom Kitt on a wonderful album called Reflect.
Nice.
And he called on his artist friends and to collaborate together, and we co-wrote songs together. I call it a time capsule of this period. So we each shared a bit of what was in our heads and in our hearts over this time.
Are you able to see other shows during this period before you open? Are you able to?
You know, I did see. I did see Shakespeare in the Park the other day.
I
saw Merry Wives, and it was wonderful.
Incredible.
It was incredible. And I'm trying to catch my friend Daniel J. Watts down at Atlantic Theater Company to see his play. I don't have much time, but
yeah, I was about to say, how often is it that actors are able to go see the other stuff that's out? Because if you're working every night,
it depends on your schedule.
Yeah.
If we have, for example, we have a Sunday matinee, so if another show has a Sunday night evening performance, or if they have a Monday night performance, we can catch it.
Good stuff. Well, what are you most excited about in terms of being back in New York and feeling? I mean, you can feel the atmosphere of the room tonight.
Yes, and even Times Square
back?
Has changed.
Yeah.
Times Square, there are people.
Yeah.
There are people there.
Look at this restaurant.
It's incredible. That's what, you know, vaccines do for you. And I'm
there were
so
a lot of there were a lot of weeks over the last 2 years. I wondered if we would ever have this opportunity
right.
again.
I know. I'm so grateful. And the idea that Tuesday we will have, we were sold out within an hour, I believe. And so Tuesday night to have a full house for the first time in all these months, I don't even know how we're going to do this show.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing both of you wonderful women on Broadway. And Samantha, I will tell you, you're a Texas native, I believe, right? So
yes.
Texas
so am
is
I.
In the house.
Hey.
Okay, you got, and also Charlotte St. Martin is right over there, and Charlotte St. Martin is from Texas, and Lauren Reed, who runs, she's the chairman of the Broadway League and John Gore Organization, she's from Texas. So.
Texas is big.
Yeah.
In the arts.
Yeah.
The stars at night.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Deep in the heart of Manhattan.
That's
all right.
Right.
We're coming back. Samantha Williams, Pearl Sun, congratulations, best wishes, and nothing but good luck in the days to come. We appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Break a leg, ladies.
Thank you.
We're coming right back. Radio Night Live, our broadcast for Broadway, celebrating everything about the reopening as we continue from Hunt and Fish. The biggest star of the night yet to come, two Tony Award winning Brian Stokes Mitchell. Don't go far. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you missed those classic New York nights? The types of evenings where you could go with your loved ones and have great fun and make great memories and eat great food? Well, when I think of the Hunt and Fish Club here in Manhattan,
That's the kind of evening that comes to mind, especially now that they've announced that they've got a brand new intimate setting where they're going to be welcoming live music, Broadway performers, classic jazz and folk artists, all bringing their wares to your dinner there at the Hunt and Fish Club. Exquisite food and incredible drink. And if you don't believe me, how's this fit your fancy? Shrimp cocktail, Alaskan crab legs, maybe some of the best lobster bisque with sherry cream you've ever had. Friends, if your mouth is watering right now, don't wait. Make your reservation. 347-625-1220. That's 347-625-1220. And rediscover a little bit of New York magic. The Hunt and Fish Club. 347-625-1220.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
Cloudy skies with some rain showers in spots on this Friday evening at 74 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, shops, restaurants, and hotels in Midtown are still trying to recover from the COVID shutdown. Many of them were depending on office workers and tourists coming back, but the rise in Delta variant cases have forced many companies to postpone back-to-work dates. In addition, the city is still trying to lure back visitors. In the meantime, the areas that have bounced back faster include the Flatiron and Union Square because they have more residential buildings. The U.S. Transportation Department is committing to bring more low-cost flights to Newark Airport. The department plans to open more slots to a yet-to-be-determined low-cost carrier. The Biden administration says it's looking to boost competition and make flights more affordable. The rights were previously used by Southwest Airlines, which left the airport back in 2019. A high COVID transmission rate continues in New Jersey. Health officials say due to the numbers, they're still recommending residents wear face masks in all 21 counties. The state's weekly average of positive tests is up nearly 10% from last week and 28% higher than 1 month ago. The New York Jets will be back in front of their fans for the first time in over a year at this weekend's home opener against the Patriots. James Flippin has more.
Gangrene looking to shake off a week one loss to the Carolina Panthers on the road, a game in which rookie QB Zach Wilson did show flashes of promise. The Patriots are also looking for their first win, having lost to the Miami Dolphins in week one. It looks like the Jets could get back receivers Keelan Cole and Jamison Crowder from injury. It's 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
James, thank you. 20 to 30 minutes outbound at the Holland Tunnel, 20 to 30 inbound from 1 and 9, 10 minutes from the Turnpike approach, 20 to 30 minutes outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel, 30 to 40 on the inbound side, and 15 inbound at the GW Bridge. Cloudy skies tonight, chance of a shower, low 68, sunshine tomorrow, high of 80, and sunshine for Sunday and Monday, high both days in the middle 70s. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. And now, back to Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Taking photos.
And we're back. We're back. It's the Radio Night Live. It is our broadcast for Broadway, and we are live from the Hunt and Fish Club on West 44th Street. And Christine, we've been looking forward to this next section of the show for, I don't know, what, 3 months?
It's so exciting. Yes,
because two of the most important people in all of Broadway are joining us here.
One of the most important people in my life is Joe Benincasa. And if you remember, when we started this radio program, Radio Night Live, which is intended to help rebuild and get people excited and enthusiastic about coming back to New York City, I couldn't think of a better guest to start off than Joe Benincasa.
He was on our very first show.
March 19th on St. Joseph's Day, so I thought that was great. And also we had Steve Cuzzo, who, by the way,
Steve Cuzzo from
New York Post is in the house with us
Well, and I owe a thank you to Joe Benincasa because he explained to me the whole importance of St. Joseph's rolls. So, I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, as the non-Catholic in the room, I was like, I don't know what this is, but anyway. And, Joe, you have brought a very special guest with you as well, and I got to tell you, from the moment that he said he could be here tonight, everybody that was a part of this said, wow, this is special. This means something. Two-time Tony Award winner, Brian Stokes Mitchell, welcome to Broadcast for Broadway. So glad to have you.
It is so glad. I cannot tell you. See, I'm speechless. I can't even make words. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Let's talk about the big thing. New York is on its way back. shows are opening. People are going to the theater. Driving down 44th to get here tonight, I saw lights on theater billboards, and it just made my heart almost jump out of my chest. What are your thoughts as you're experiencing it?
This is what we've been waiting for a year and a half. And it makes me very, very happy because, as you know, from our work with the Actors Fund, we've seen a lot of people hurting. You know, people, I think, kind of are thinking, it's so great that the actors are back. It's not just the actors. It's the musicians. It's the crew members. It's the people running the theaters and their staffs. It's all of the people.
It's 97,000 workers, which
yes.
I learned today from Curtain Up when we were there and you opened it, but they kept emphasizing how many workers actually it takes to put on a Broadway show. 97,000 in
Absolutely.
Total.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
People, I thank you so much for letting that number be known as well, because people don't realize there are all of these people that you don't see. And knowing that these shows are back, that means 97,000 people are
right.
back
right.
at their jobs.
And that's
again.
Just the theater workers. That doesn't count
yes.
all of these waiters
right.
and the staff,
the
bartenders.
What was that number during the pandemic on the restaurant side? 127,000 or something like that?
And it's a $40 billion industry, which is the Broadway, including the restaurants, the stores, the shops, everything that goes into it. So,
yes.
Stokes Mitchell, we are so happy that you were here, and also Joe Benicasa from the Actors Fund. I want to get into what you did during COVID, but I also want to make sure that the Actors Fund was so important. And just tell us, like, how well you did.
Yeah, practically
speaking,
servicing your members. How did they get help?
Joe, why don't you take this one?
Okay. Well, you know, there are four areas of service at the Actors Fund. One is direct financial assistance and social services, our healthcare center and health insurance counseling, our housing programs, including our nursing home in Englewood, and then career center, career advice, helping people develop parallel careers or you know, so they can make a living if they're not performing or working backstage or front of house. Now, the numbers were about, you know, just in direct financial assistance to about 17,000 people all over the country. Financial assistance was about $23 million
wow.
that we provided. And we were able to raise that money because of the generosity of the creative community. People like Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
You know, fantastic. Rosie O'Donnell, Bob Greenblatt, all these people stepped up.
How does that compare, though, to other years?
Well, in a normal year, our emergency assistance fund that Joe's talking about, we would give out about $2 million
wow.
to about 1,500 people. So you can that really puts it into perspective.
Big time. 12 times the that's just amazing. And are your members beginning to find? I mean, they're not among the 97,000 support workers we're talking about. Are they finding their way back?
They
and
are.
Not just in New York, but in other places.
They are. We started a program called Places Please, helping people return from where they moved to, if they have contract to work, to come back to New York or to Chicago or Los Angeles. So it's an interesting program which provides direct financial assistance to help people find affordable housing. And we'll even put up the rent for that first month and helping people do that, if in fact they have contracts to come back. I want to mention our nursing home, though, because
let me give you time to do that on the other side of the break, because we're going to take this time out. We are visiting with Joe Benicasa of the Actors Fund and the great two-time Tony winner, Brian Stokes Mitchell, who did amazing things for the essential workers during pandemic, and we're going to highlight that as well as we move forward. We are getting close to the end of this broadcast for Broadway. That means shows are going to start at the top of the hour,
yep.
up and down the street here.
Six.
We're excited about that. Coming right back, live from Hunt and Fish.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. 800-651-0798. Use that promo code JOEP or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code JOEP. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. 800-651-0798. Promo code JOEP.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Sometimes it seems like America has gone upside down. Sometimes it seems like everybody's lost their mind. Everything we believe in has now become wrong. And what the other side believes in is getting the best of us. Hey, when you start to feel that way, just remember, you're here listening for a reason. You're here because you know the truth, and so do others like you. It's through that knowledge that you learn how to fight this culture war. We have to fight it. We have to win it. AM 970, The Answer. Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com.
You can't sleep. You can't eat. There's no doubt you're in deep.
Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
For those of you that are tuned in for the first time, the purpose of this show at 7 o'clock every night of the week here on AM 970 is to help New York come back. And we do that by dealing with different subject matters each night. We do finances on Monday. We do travel. We do wellness. We do legal. But on Friday, we have fun. And that's why I asked Christine Nicholas to be my partner in fun on Friday night. And Christine, I can't think of a better way to have welcomed Broadway back than what has happened here tonight. It's been so special.
It's been great.
And we're not done yet because Joe Benincasa and Brian Stokes Mitchell are still here. And there's some really admirable stuff that I think we need to pat some people on the back for. And I want to start with Joe. You talked about the nursing home, and I wanted to give you time to explain the work that is being done there, because I do think it's very significant.
The Actors Fund has a division in which we develop and operate affordable housing. And one of the projects we have, one of the residences we have, is in Englewood, New Jersey. It's a nursing home. It's four levels of care. And I'm so proud that we have not had a case of COVID since April of 2020. 100% of our staff are vaccinated, and all of our residents have been vaccinated. Early on in the pandemic, Governor Murphy asked us to take some COVID patients in. We created a special unit there. Jordan Strolls, our administrator, he and his staff did a brilliant, brilliant job. And we're so proud that everyone's remained healthy.
Yeah.
And that's true for all of our residences in California, as well as Brooklyn and here in Manhattan. They've been really healthy places for people to live.
That's an excellent job. But Christine, I know that we were very grateful that Brian could be with us tonight too, because he cemented a piece of New York's heart forever with his nightly serenade of the essential workers. And Brian, I want to know, where'd you get the idea? When did it strike you as saying, this is what I can do? I can encourage them as they're coming off of shift.
It was actually a very spontaneous thing. I had a very bad case of COVID last March, and I remember laying in bed kind of recovering from it and hearing at 7 o'clock at night this noise coming from the front room. I could hear my wife and my son making noise and clapping and shouting and hitting pans.
Ringing a cowbell, I remember.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly, all of that. And making all of this noise, and I called her. I said, what's going on? She said, it's a spontaneous thing that New York City has just started doing. At 7 o'clock, everybody stops and they clap and they cheer, honk horns, ring cowbells, whatever they want to do. And so as I started getting better, I went to my own window, because we had enough windows, we could each be at separate windows, and we're five floors above Broadway, and I started cheering them on. In the meantime, I could feel COVID had gone into my lungs, but it was the end of it, so it didn't go very far. So I was vocalizing every day to kind of see
just
how,
as a therapy to get your voice back.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And then one day, after cheering for all of the crowd, I thought, you know what, I think I feel strong enough to sing. And so I just spontaneously started singing The Impossible Dream from the window, and everybody in the streets, then they looked up, and then they applauded a second time. So I'm thinking of doing it just as a one-time thing. Next day comes, same thing happens. I'm at the window applauding for everybody, and then all the applause dies down, and I'm getting ready to lower the windows, and I hear from the street, sing the song. So that was what started me singing it for 2.5
months. So you
literally
got got catcalled into continuing to do it.
Yes, yeah.
But tell us, though, why you stopped. Because this could have been the longest running show on Broadway had you kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that because I found it kind of like there was a bittersweet quality. I was literally singing on Broadway every night.
Right.
Meanwhile, all of my friends and everybody that I know were not singing on Broadway, you know.
Right.
So, but it's a nice thing because it started attracting quite a crowd. I never knew that it was so easy to get famous, to just open your window and start singing out, because it's one of these things that went viral and people were calling me from Japan and from Australia and everybody saw this. But I was getting a little concerned because literally hundreds of people started gathering outside, and there was a police car that I was doing an interview across the street one day, and there was a police car parked across the street, and I thought, let me talk to this guy before I go up and applaud for everybody. And so I stopped, and the guy says, yeah, what do you want? I said, hey, I'm the guy that is singing from the window every night. He says, oh, you're the guy. I said, yeah, you know, and I just wanted to, I'm getting a little concerned because I'm afraid, you know, there's going to be an accident or something, because on a number of occasions, the police would literally come up and stop the traffic while I was singing. He said, yeah, well, you know, we love your singing and everything, but, you know, my boss sent me here because we're afraid nobody's social distancing. And so he actually sent me here to break this up tonight.
Oh,
and I said, well, I'm singing for you guys, too. You know, you're part of the essential workers. Is there something that I could do that it's going to make your job any easier? He said, don't sing out the window. And so that was the end. That was the last night that I sang. But I went to some hospitals after that and actually sang at the hospitals
at
7 o'clock.
That's great.
But, yeah.
Well, if you haven't seen it, you must go on YouTube and just Google Quest. Brian Stokes Mitchell or COVID, and it's all there, and it really is beautiful. It is
absolutely there are
gorgeous.
There are many network news wraps that the CBS Sunday Morning did a fantastic story, wrapped all together. I feel bad because the next thing I'm going to do is a little bit self-aggrandizing, but my mom, God rest her soul, she died of cancer a number of years ago. She thought you were the cat's meow on Trapper John.
That was, oh, my goodness.
She was way back. She was like, man, that Brian Stokes Mitchell. And if she knew that I was that you were on our show tonight and that we were working for such a great cause of bringing New York back, she'd be so proud of me. But she'd push me off to the side and just want to get a picture with you.
I wish she were here that we could do it.
You've won the Tony. You've been at the top of the mountain peak. You've seen what Broadway has been through. What's your biggest hope and fear for the next year? What do you want to see and measure it by success, and what would you be concerned about if you saw it not going the right way?
Well, my biggest hope is that people are vaccinated and people feel confident and they can come back to New York and they can feel comfortable sitting and sharing armrests with strangers.
Because some of those seats are small.
They are, yeah. And laughing together and crying together and experiencing this. And if people need to wear masks to do that, that's okay to start off, because one of the great things has been just the few performances that I've done around here. I did Lincoln Center, 6 performances at Lincoln Center. That audience was so happy to be out and enjoying the company of other live people. If I can just tell a quick short story. I ran into a neighbor when I was singing The Impossible Dream. It started feeling a little performative after a while to me, because I thought, well, it feels like now people are showing up to hear me sing and not so much to clap for the essential workers, and that's why I'm singing. And I thought, maybe I should stop singing because I want people to really clap for the essential workers. But a few days after having that thought, I was stopped by a neighbor who lives at catty corner from me, and he said, Brian Stokes Mitchell. I said, yeah. I said, you don't know me. I'm your neighbor. I live across the street from you, and I just wanted to say thank you. And he started getting emotional. He said, I just wanted to say thank you. We come out every night to clap for the essential workers, and I come out to clap and hear you sing, me and my wife and my 2 kids.
Oh, wow.
It's the one time in my day I feel joy.
Oh, nice.
And that's what the theater gives people. It gives us this sense of camaraderie, of that we're not alone in this world together, this shared sense of empathy that we have, you know, this understanding. So that's what I most look forward to, is seeing that happen again. And it's happening now, which
is
really fantastic.
You really feel the unity. You feel that New York is back. We're all on the same side, and we're all rooting for something that we want to see succeed.
Yes.
And it's Broadway.
Yeah, and I think it will succeed. I mean, the one fear that everybody has is that something terrible is going to happen. What could be more terrible than the last year and a half we've been through? Mm-hmm. Now we do have vaccinations. Now we are at the edge of the woods now, and we are right there at the clearing. So it's a realistic to say, yes, we're back at this point. I know people were trying to say that a few months back. Before we had a vaccine, we couldn't say that. Now we can say that. And so I'm not really afraid of that, because I know, even I am having had COVID, and it's not fun. Now I know that because of this vaccine that I've had as well, if I got it, it would be like probably
like
a flu or something like
right.
that. It's not something that I would welcome, but, you know, I don't have to worry so much. And I think that it's going to put it into perspective for people.
Well, something that we do need to do, though, in order to make sure that we're successful is, and you guys are already doing it, Joe Benicasa, Stokes Mitchell, Kevin McCullough, we're doing it. You got to get the word out to get people to buy tickets, to feel safe,
okay,
to feel comfortable.
Hold that thought, because we need to expound on that.
Yep.
But we've got to take one last
okay.
break, and then we're back for our last 4 minutes of our broadcast
okay.
for Broadway. What a night. Thank you, Hunt and Fish. Thank you to everybody that has been part of this. But we're going to wrap things up with Brian Stokes Mitchell, Joe Benicasa, Christine Nicholas, Kevin McCullough, when we come back.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition, at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers, making buying decisions right now and for the future. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundNewYork.com. SurroundNewYork.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Carl Jackson is next on AM970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
Christine, I've always said that muted trumpet,
yeah,
the wah wah wah, that's a very underrated instrument.
I went to Chicago last night, and
so you got a lot of it.
I got it, and I needed that dose. I needed that buzz. It was really amazing.
Final few minutes with our broadcast for Broadway. We've so enjoyed tonight. Thank you to everybody that came. Lots of people ate good food, and we had great conversation. Joe Benicasa and Brian Stokes Mitchell, the 2-time Tony Award winner, gracing our table with his greatness tonight and his generosity and his kind spirit. Gentlemen, Christine was asking you some interesting questions during the break. As longtime Broadway aficionados, what are you excited to see? What have you seen? What are you looking to go see soon?
Well, I want to see everything, you know. So I can't, I was at Wicked the other night, and I've been backstage at Hamilton and a few other shows talking to the stagehands. So I can't get enough of this, what's happening right now. So there's nothing I don't want to see, okay? And I want to see things in New Jersey and California. I want to see theater every place. And so we're very exciting. It's a very exciting time.
I just got a report from a friend in Sarasota that said that the performing arts centers down there were having some trouble, and they were actually having to refund tickets and stuff. And I was like, "That's sad. We don't want to see that come to Times Square. Keep that mojo away from here. We have hard enough time.
We don't need that. We've been through long enough."
Brian,
now.
Same question to you though. What are you looking to see?
I feel the same as Joe. You know, I'd mentioned earlier, I want to be at every single opening or reopening night on Broadway. I've been fortunate. I was at Springsteen's and I just saw Lackawanna Blues, their first preview, actually. I want to get back to Hamilton and to Wicked and The Lion King as well. I want to see Six. I was actually getting ready to open up a show called Love Life at City Center Encores. We were 4 days from our opening night, and so we were incredibly disappointed when everything was shut down because we never got to do that show. But I felt worse for Six because it was their opening night, the night Broadway shut down. So I'm really excited, especially to see that show.
And I know that you have some connections to Lincoln Center, too, and I think you were part of their late summer series there. How did that go, and are they on the same track as Broadway?
It was spectacular. It was 1,000 people every night outdoors at Damrosch Park where the band shell is, and I did 6 performances there, and the audiences were just ecstatic to once again be together and be celebrating music. And my show was about kind of the last year that we have been through, so that was what my patter was about, and some familiar songs and some new songs as well. But people just are happy to be out again and celebrating theater and experiencing live art again.
Yeah. So I must say, I mentioned I went to Chicago last night, but I would be remiss if I didn't send greetings from Adrian Arsht, who came up from Washington to see Chicago together. So yes, that was exciting because that's, you know, that's got a lot of wonderful things going on right now as far as more equity and more, you know, diversity. So it's exciting.
Well, and is there a bigger heart in the generous spirit of Broadway than Adrian Arsht in America?
Adrian Arsht is just fantastic. And luckily the Arsht Center is not having any issues in Miami. But we love having her here, and I know she's a good friend
of
yours.
I love her, yes. And we're so appreciative of all the patrons of the arts. Like Adrian is one of the greatest, I think, in the world. But also people that are just the small patrons. Like when we were doing Stars in the House, people would make pledges for $5 and $10 to help out. And people that can only afford the smallest ticket, and they can't afford, you know, a gajillion dollars on a ticket. Anybody can do to help the arts and come see and get Broadway going again makes a difference. And we welcome everyone.
What's your next project? Do you have anything coming up?
I'm doing a show right now called Crossovers Live. It's on the Stellar Streaming Network, and it's a show. The next show is I get to be an executive producer and an interviewer on it as well. I'm interviewing Bernadette Peters on the 20th, which is Monday, September 20th. So people can just look up Crossovers Live. They can check that out, and also part of the proceeds for that go to the Actors Fund.
Crossovers
well.
Live. Crossovers we will check Live. It out. I will be tuning in. Joe Benincasa, for all that you're doing, thank you. Brian, for all that you've done, that you continue to do, that you will do, thank you. Christine, we did it.
We did
it. We broadcast for Broadway tonight.
I couldn't imagine doing a show about Broadway, you know, from our home studios on the Zoom. So it's really good to be out and about.
It felt good. That's it for us tonight. Thank you to Hunt and Fish and everyone else. We'll see you next time on Radio Night Live.